He goes to the butcher to learn the parts of animals when he translates the part of the Bible where the sacrifices are made and animals are cut up. He goes to the treasury to learn about the names of the jewels. He listens to good German, and therefore he can speak good German. He speaks good German because he speaks their German, the German of the German people, and he's heard it, and he gives it back to them as God's word. So this doesn't leave German unchanged. It's like what happens to English after Shakespeare, or Italian after Dante. A great user of the language shapes the language, and Luther certainly had a huge influence on the German language. He convinced people that the German language could be used to express complex ideas. And one of the complaints that the academic theologians had is that German is too simple. You can't express complex ideas in German. There were some German mystical writers who proved them wrong already, people like Meister Eckhart. But Luther was maybe the first great writer that used pure, simple German to express deep and complex ideas. The German language needed somebody like him, just as the Italian language needed Dante. But the Italians had Dante back in the 13th century. The Germans have to wait for Luther in the 16th century. The other thing that Luther does linguistically is when he translates the Bible, he goes back to the original language, not to the Latin. Even though the Latin Bible is more or less the Bible he grows up with as a student, when Luther thinks about the Bible, the first thing that comes into his mind really is the Latin Bible. But he goes back to the Hebrew and the Greek, and he translates direct from the original languages, not from the Latin. Let me give you an example of how he uses the original languages and gets them to German, and how he uses the unique resources of the German language to do something new and distinctive. Here's a famous example of Luther's translating. In the Gospel of Luke, in the Christmas story, the angel Gabriel comes and announces to Mary that she's going to be the mother of our Lord. And he says to her, the angel Gabriel says to Mary, "Hail Mary, full of grace." That's the English translation. It's a pretty much literal translation of the Latin, "Ave Maria, gratia plena," full of grace. And it's like that in the German, the older translations, this "Gegrüßet seist du, Maria, voll Gnaden," full of grace. Luther comments on this. Look, what's a German to make of this? What does it mean to say she's full of grace? Is this like a mug full of beer or a purse full of coins? Right? A German is not going to understand this if you just talk about Maria being full of grace, voll Gnaden. We got to go back to the original language. Well, what's the Greek say? Right? Not the Latin, not the Ave Maria, gratia plena, but the Greek, the original language of the New Testament. That's more like, if you were to translate it literally, "Hail, be graced one." Right? But the problem is, if you translate it literally, it comes out ugly. "Hail, be graced one." You can't say that in English, and you can't say it in German either. So what are you going to do? You're going to say it in good German. Luther, in order to get to the good German, goes back even further. He goes from the Greek to the Hebrew. He figures, look, the angel came to Mary, who was a Hebrew maiden. He probably spoke to her in Hebrew. How do angels speak to people in Hebrew when they greet them? He goes back to the book of Daniel, and he notices that an angel addresses the prophet Daniel and says, basically, "Hail, beloved one, beloved man." And says, now I bet you that's how the angel talked to Mary. So what he said is something like this, to make the angel speak good German. "Gott grüße dich, du liebe Maria." God greet you, you dear Maria. Liebe Maria. Liebe. Liebe is the German word for dear. When you start a letter with dear so-and-so, it's Liebe so-and-so. But it also means beloved, right? And no German can miss this. Liebe is the word for love. You say, "I love you," that's ich liebe dich, right? So, du liebe Maria, you dear Mary, you beloved Mary. You can't quite say that in English, right? You can't say, "you beloved Mary," that's too much. But if you say, "dear Mary," that seems too little. It seems too trivial and pallid. Whereas this German word Liebe is both ordinary, just as ordinary as dear Mary, but also resonates deeply with this notion of love. And so Luther comments, "Whoever knows German knows very well what a fine, heartfelt word this word Liebe is. I do not know whether this word can be said in Latin or any other language with such fullness of feeling so that it pierces and rings in the heart and through all the senses as it does in our language." And I think he's right. There's nothing quite like this word in any other language. So when he translates the angel's greeting in the Bible to Mary, he's using resources of the German language that are unique and yet capture something deep about what's going on in the Bible. that's just one hint or example of how Luther makes God speak good German, makes God's word speak in the language of the people, instead of in the stilted translations that were there before. There were other translations of the Bible into German before Luther, but they came from the Latin. They were literalistic. They were ugly. They weren't good German.